What's going on, Facebook and YouTube Live?
Whoa.
Podcast listeners?
Whoa.
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 It's Thursday.
It's 2021. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Glad to be back.
You glad to be back?
Yes.
How about you, Bradley?
It's deserved. I mean, I feel like 21 is going to be a big year. It can't be worse than 20. It can't be.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
It's only the seventh.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I agree, man. I agree. We can only go up from here. So we already got some folks in the chat. Catherine Field in the house. Hello, darling. Hope you are feeling well. Danny Davidson, what's up, guys?
What's up, Danny?
Robert Brown, oh, but what? But, yeah, welcome back, everybody. It was nice to take a little break, well-deserved. I want to apologize first and foremost. There was no Bass Fishing for Noobs episode this week. That was all my fault. That was my fault. So if anybody wants to crucify me for that, you're more than welcome to. Those guys will be back next week. Full schedule, back in the swing of things. Changing some stuff up with the other segments. If you guys watch on YouTube, a lot more interaction, photos, videos, things like that. We're using new software. So, yeah, be sure to check that out on the YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe. Anyways, we got Mr. McKinstry in the house tonight.
Who?
Mike McKinstry?
Isn't he like that bass, that hairy bass dude, something like that?
Hairy bass dude. I think so. The Squatch?
The Squatchinator? The Bass Squatch?
The Bass Squatch?
Oh.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, buddy.
I'm glad I was muted when I was responding to you.
Welcome back, Mr. McKinstry. How are you, man? Did you have a good New Year's, good Christmas, all that good stuff, man?
Yeah, I mean, it was different. I mean, it definitely capped off 2020 appropriately, you know, but definitely had a good holiday still, though, and I'm glad I'm back on here. It's my favorite podcast to be on, so thanks for having me back, guys.
Did you hear that?
Aww.
Oh, man. I got like this weird feeling in my heart.
Yeah, you know, that happens a lot. It's mostly men, but it happens a lot.
David Alberson said he's never seen a hairy bass.
Yeah, you got to spread its bottom fins apart.
And we're off.
last interview, did we have like a timer going with how long it took before like the weird comment started, which was like pretty quick.
Just get out of the way.
All I know is Jay was probably as red as the on-air sign by the end of the show last time.
Dude, that was so funny. I waited until the end of the interview. Remember that? That Jay was just losing it. It just takes a little bit of flirting, and Jay just loses it, you know?
That's right, you know, just hiding it, I guess. I don't know.
That's hilarious. Well, welcome back, everybody. If you could, go down in that lower left-hand corner, click that share button. Let's get an audience up in here, and we're going to be talking to Mike about the 2021 Bassquatch Hunter TV's season coming up. And I'm sure a few things in between. So Mike.
Or around it or after it or just randomly thrown in. Yeah.
Well, I saw a post from you the other day, man. Last season, Bassquatch Hunter TV was like, what, 1.93 million views or something?
1.92. I appreciate the pad there, but 1.92 million. We had 1.92 million viewers, and our season's only 6 months long. So that's a part that blew me away too, is our first season, a brand new show for this network. It was our first time on cable, our first time on this network. And it's the first time the network had a show like this, where like we're a hybrid between outdoor adventures and fishing. So we're also the only show that isn't in the typical season. Like, so fishing season for cable TV is January to, or is it July? That's the first and second quarter. Hunting shows are the third and fourth quarter, so fall and winter. So my show is the second quarter and third quarter. So I kind of like went in like the middle, so I get the hunting, outdoor, camping crowd and the fishing crowd at the beginning of the season. So we kind of didn't know what to expect. And the network, I mean, they argued with me for months when we were doing contract negotiations in 2019. And they were just like, look, we don't have any fishing shows that do that. I said, yeah, well, it's not really just a fishing show, so let's just try it. You know, it's just, what's the worst that can happen, right? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We'll move it around for next year.
Sure.
So the first quarter happens, the first 3 months, and the network calls me up and says, hey, we got an offer for you for your second season. And I was like, I'm not even done with the first season. Is that good? I ranked number 5 in the first quarter on the network, like the whole network. Nice. And I was going against, like, dude, it was so cool. I'm going against, you know, the Collegiate Bass Series, the there's a Bass Pro Series on there, an MLF Series, I think, too. Like, there's some big stuff on the network. Hmm. And there's some great shows on there. Like Brush Pile and, like, you know, these great shows. And they were like, all right, well, obviously what you're doing works, so let's go ahead and renew a second season now and get that set up. So I did the same thing for this year. So yeah, we finished off number 5 in the network, and we're the newest show on there, and almost hit 2 million viewers. I was like kind of watching the count the last month when the ratings were coming in. I was just like, come on, hit 2. Like, it's just an imaginary goal that I hit the last minute. I was like, I want to hit 2 now. So now my goal for this year is to break 2.5 million. Just because I have to try to set the bar a little bit. And, you know, now that we're a little bit more established show, like, some of the viewers know who we are now. They know the show. They're looking forward to a second season. And this season's going to be bigger and better and, you know, just a whole lot more into it. Like, we started filming for it about 4 months ago. We were on hold for the pandemic, so we would have started way earlier. But and some of the episodes we have filmed already are just, I mean, incredible. It's just some of the coolest stuff that I still can't believe I'm able to do.
Very cool, man. Well, congrats on the viewership, man. That's super huge, dude. Especially for your first season cable TV, man. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, that's what blew me away too, is because when I was on streaming, you know, I had I'm trying to find the politically correct way to say it or the legally correct way to say it. I had some disagreements and issues with the streaming network I was on. Ended up having to have like a out of court settlement with them and then move on. And I didn't know what was going to happen after that. And I was like, I don't know, you know, I had a weird taste in my mouth for streaming services after that and how they're ran and regulated or not regulated, actually lack of regulation. And, we made the jump to cable. And it was weird because, like, we were pitching, like, my producer was pitching like Discovery Channel and, like, you know, we're pitching big networks. And then we kind of stopped for a minute. We're like, we're looking at the cost of these things and like the advertising dollars needed and all these crazy numbers. I'm like, you know what? Let's just like take smaller steps. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, we jumped on cable and we had no idea what to do. We prepared for it to be the worst possible thing. We prepared for the worst, thinking it was going to flop, thinking that people weren't going to catch on to it or get it. And it was a different format. I mean, there's so many things, like some like little inside info, I guess. So no other show on the entire network has the content time I have, as far as how much time the content shows versus commercials. Also, I have the least amount of commercial breaks of any show on there. And again, I'm the only show in my category that does second and third quarter for airtime. So there's a lot of things that we're like, we're going to stand out, and it's either going to be terrible or it's going to be really good. We don't, it's going to be one end of the spectrum. We're not going to just coast in and sit in the middle, you know? So, it was kind of a cool thing to be able to watch it actually, like, people actually related to it. You know, people actually clung to the show a little bit. And, you know, I started getting messages from people from even from different countries telling me they liked the show and, you know, part of this inspired them for this or that. Like, the message was actually working, you know, so that was probably the best part.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
And what channel are you on, so everybody knows?
The Pursuit Channel. So the Pursuit Channel is on AT&T U-verse, Dish Network, DirecTV. It's on Xfinity. It's on Pluto TV, Sling TV. And if you buy a Samsung Smart TV or a Vizio Smart TV, it's automatically preloaded on the app screen. The Pursuit Up app is, so you can watch it streaming. And then you can get the free app on your phones or computers or anything too. The Pursuit Up app is free. But the episodes don't air until like 90 days after they air on cable. So there's time for all the network providers to air them first. And then the whole season, like the whole 2020 season's on the app for free right now. You can go back and watch, you can like binge the whole, you know, 12 or 13 episodes. And then next season, it'll be 3 months behind before it opens up on the free app.
Nice, dude. You took notes on all that stuff, right?
Well, I was actually watching this today.
Well, Jay was in one of my episodes that aired in 2020.
So let's talk about that. That was the worst performing episode you had, correct?
So you know what's funny is that was the first episode that broke 100,000 viewers when it aired, the day it aired. And I give Jay full credit for that. You know, I found out, you know, if you spend the big bucks and have the good looking models on board, it actually pays off. Like, I know there's a big shadow over the bikini fisherman thing.
Yeah.
When you put Jay on camera with a bikini on, I mean, you guys, it changes everything. My ratings went from like.
You know what, Mike? You can stop right there. You're so welcome. You're welcome. You know, it was the least I could do to America and the world. I can't turn this thing off.
America.
Sorry, yeah, cool. I was able to sell advertising to therapists on that episode. I doubled it.
You know, when you got it. I mean, what are you going to do, man? It's, you know what? And you're welcome, too. You're welcome.
It's the only episode I've watched in slow motion more than once.
That's not weird at all.
I'm sure all our paddle and fin folk are watching and wondering, you know, or putting it together that no wonder our numbers have been climbing.
That's right.
So for real, though, that episode was the first one that broke 100,000 views on the day. So it airs four times a week. It airs Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Like, I have awesome air times. Like, I got a great anchor spot at 6:30 p.m. on Saturdays. Like, it's an amazing lineup that I have. So the first day that I aired, it had 99,000+ views. And I was like, oh, my God, that was huge. The next morning, it broke 100,000. Like, the ratings finished. And it had over 100,000 viewers. And that was the first one that hit. I think it was my second or third episode. I have to look. And I forgot what order it went in. But that was either the second or third episode of the season. And it was cool because I was like, I had to figure out, like, why was that the first one? The rest of them did great afterwards, too, and it just climbed. But I was like, why was that the first one? And I started realizing that we fished for pike. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Jay, but it was such a cool experience because how many times has this ever happened where we went out to a lake that has 9 species in it? We tied on one bait, and we targeted one species, and we caught nothing but that species all day, and we had no problem catching. They were just there. Like, everywhere we went, they were just there. They all put on a good show. They were all camera friendly. Like, it was just everything went a little too good, but people were really like relating to that episode because northern pike don't exist everywhere. So people were watching it. And my biggest audience for that episode was Texas and Florida, where northern pike don't exist. So it was kind of a cool episode to be able to show them some of the species we have up here, some of the fisheries we have up here. Some of the, like, you know, me and Jay were just going back and forth, as you can imagine, the whole time. And, you know, people can see that relationship from someone from a different state. And it was a really cool episode. And I believe that's the episode that I added in the pay it forward thing at the end, I think was the Halloween segment where we went to the children's hospital and handed out 50 bags of toys to all the kids and stuff. So like there was a lot to offer in that episode that was just like, it was just super cool for everybody. So that was the first one that took off actually the whole season.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. It was fun. Yeah, it was a good time, man. It was I enjoyed getting rained on with the cold rain.
It was that's another thing too. Like in that episode, so when I film an episode, when I edit it even, it's super real. Like I try to include everything. Yeah. So that episode shows like us starting out normal weather, us getting downpoured on and still fishing. Then the rain went away and it got really nice out again. And we just kept on fishing. Like the episode takes you on the whole journey, or the segment. Every episode is like 3 mini episodes. So like the first segment was us fishing and it shows you the whole roller coaster ride we went through fishing and then second segment, then third segment. So, but it was a super cool experience. Like it's very rare you can do that. Like you can go target a species and you only catch that species and somehow they're everywhere you expect them to be. It was just a really cool experience.
Yeah, that was definitely fun. Especially catching that monster I caught. That was cool. That was such a small pike.
Look at this pike. That part was stupid. You don't want to edit that part. I was laughing so hard.
I couldn't even fake it. I was like, look at this giant. This giant. That's all I can think of.
I was laughing the whole time out of that one. Yeah, Catherine Field even said that was an awesome episode. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was that was definitely an interesting day. Yeah, I mean, you know, like a lot of the shows you see, it almost seems like it's like the perfect day, like every day. You know, so everybody gets on like, you know, mild overcast with some bluebird skies. It like looks perfect for everybody. It's like, you know, it's not every day you get, man, you know, all the season at once. I mean, it was actually warm. Wasn't it like it was decent and then it got cold.
It was super warm and then it got, then it rained and got really cold and then it became like normalish after that. So we had like three seasons and one like fish outing, which is normal for where we're from, you know, in Illinois and Michigan, like, you know, Indiana, Ohio, the whole area we're in, it's pretty normal to have three or four seasons in a day. I mean, it's not that, I mean, we've had 70 degree weather then snow in the same day here. So it's not that uncommon, but most fishing shows, and I'm not dogging fishing shows, you know, I grew up watching them. I still watch fishing shows, but they became so, so cookie cutter and so vanilla, where it's like, there's banjo picking and you see people launch a boat and they go out fish for the whole day. And then when they're done, you watch them just hammer fish all day. Like they were just there waiting for them and then they go home. And it's like, you don't really get to immerse yourself in the experience. And, you know, in my show, I don't want people just to watch me catch fish. Like that's not fun to me. Like I don't watch fishing shows to watch people catch fish. I watch fishing shows to be entertained and to be motivated to go out and fish myself and do things myself. So like I watch people like Dave Mercer and Bill Dance because they don't just fish. They're also extremely entertaining, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I modeled my show after is I want to model it after the entertainment side, not the educational side. Like I'm not going to teach you the whole episode how to do stuff. I'll throw in little facts and things that I learn along the way, because I'm always learning stuff from people and evolving. And if someone like Jay's on, then I'll have him talk about like something about pike fishing, because he's better at it than I am and does it more than I do. So I'll have people like throw in facts and we'll learn stuff, but I don't base it off of like, here's how you catch fish, because it doesn't always work that, you know, like if it works for me in the lake that I fish in, that's great. But if I tell you that's how to do it because it works for me in that specific lake and those conditions and you go try it and it doesn't work, how did I benefit you? You know what I mean? And people don't look at that much when they're looking at facts on fishing. They're just like, you know, well, this guy said use a wacky rig and let it fall and do this and do that. It's like, well, that guy was in Florida and you're in Wisconsin. So,
sure.
You know what I mean? So I didn't like the educational route. Plus, I'm not the best fisherman in the world. I mean, plain and simple. Yeah. Like, I learn every day and I'll learn the rest of my life. I learn from everybody else. I learn from you guys. I learn from everybody. So I rather throw in little facts as I learn them, as I feel confident teaching them and sharing them and just entertaining people and just making it about the adventure, making it about the fun and not taking you on a banjo picking journey of me catching fish. But there's episodes where I don't catch fish at all because that happens. And, you know, I'll go through the whole process of me switching baits and me getting frustrated and me trying new areas and the changing weathers and everything I can, because that's real. That's something that people can relate to, because that really happens. So
it's even like, on that day, I mean, you know, I was swinging for the fences, you weren't, and I was coming up empty, and then you all of a sudden caught a couple fish, and then I was like, well, time to change. So then I downsized, and then all of a sudden we were on the fish.
Yeah, and that's how it works. That's why I like fishing with people that I can learn from too, is that if it would have been the opposite, I'd have been like, wait, what are you doing different? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, teach me your ways. You know, it's like, that's the fun part of fishing. To me, that's the best part of fishing, actually. Even when I go in tournaments, like I've been in tournaments before and people are like watching me hammer them. And I'm like, hey man, here, and I'll throw them a tube and go, here, this is what I'm using. Like, catch fish, man. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. I'll be like, I'll be just skunking all day and someone will come by me and go, hey man, I'm using tubes. Shh. You know? And I'm like, thanks man. Like, that's what fishing's all about. That's what fishing's all about to me. Like, it's not about being competitive. I mean, it is being competitive, but it's not being competitive like you want someone else to lose. You want everybody to win. And the more people have fun around you, the more contagious the sport gets, which is what we should all want, is the sport to be contagious. So, you know, that's why I like fishing with Jay too, because, I mean, as you can see how we banter on here, even when we fish together, I mean, anyone knows this. When you get on the water, that's when you really get to know somebody, because you just let it go. You know, you just talk about everything. It's like locker room talk with no boundaries. And when you're out there with someone that you get along with, that you have like, you know, similar sense of humor with, it's just, you're not even really doing it. You're not fishing really. You're just hanging out while you're holding a fishing pole. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's a lot of fun. And I think that episode we did translates that really well and really kind of like shows that experience.
Yeah. There's also a lot that didn't go in there
too. Yeah. There's a lot of your trucker mouth I had to edit out of there, mister.
Oh yeah. There's the truth.
I'm innocent.
Mike, is it right if we play like a minute or two of this episode off your YouTube channel real quick?
Yeah. Do you have it lined up?
Yeah, I got it lined up. I can,
please tell me you have how you have the part lined up where I have to put a fish over his mouth so you can't see what he's swearing about.
No, I just got the beginning of the video. We'll just play like that first little clip here real quick.
Next. Oh, it's just Sasquatch Hunter TV.
So I'm here with Jay Randall from Jackson Kayak Fishing Team from Illinois. He's a fellow Midwesterner, and his specialty is shooting critters like pike. So he came all the way out here, and how far drive was it for you?
About 5 hours.
How
much did it cost for good internet?
What are you most excited about? Man? Just first time fishing in waters, first time fishing in Michigan for pike, right?
No, I've actually finished fishing quite a bit. I've never been in
Europe,
so this will be
really
interesting.
Notice how similar we are in size.
40 inches.
You're both short.
To find the pike spot.
It's because I was in a hole.
And hopefully get this guy out something over 40 inches out here. So water and get some toothy critters in the boat.
My name is Mike McKinstry.
This is all Mike.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, right.
After the intro, it's good. You know what's funny too? Whenever I edit and that intro starts, I'm like, I cringe because I'm so sick of hearing that intro at this point. I'm so sick of hearing my voice on camera after editing for 40 hours. I'm just like, and I mute and skip it. And
how many? Like, you know, what's funny? I bet it took you a while to even get that thing together because you were like, no, it's too long.
Oh, you know. For this year, and I just swapped out some clips, and it's so dumb. It's a minute long intro, and I only swapped out 3 clips or 4 clips, maybe the most. It took me probably 3 hours because I needed it to be perfect and really, like, you know, showcase some things. And it was ridiculous.
Put some auto tune on your voice.
You know, I did that for my vlog intro. When I did my vlog intro, I wanted to make it super weird and cheesy, so I did like an octave. Like, oh, here you go. Is this the beast?
It's one of them.
You got ads on here? Really, Mike?
Whoa, no.
YouTubers, all about the AdSense, man.
You know?
My girlfriend needs new shoes, man.
Well, you get the gist of it, man. It's I enjoy your show, man. It's like you said, it's really not only is it entertaining, but the learning aspect of it too. And I think it's cool that you highlight a lot of different things along the line too. It's not just bass fishing or just pike fishing. You do many different things. And I think that's what makes you definitely unique for sure, man. So kudos to you.
Thank you, man. What's your favorite episode you've seen?
It'll be the episode that I'll be on with you, which is coming in the 2021 season, I was told.
We were discussing that, Mike. Like, I was already discussing your content.
So I have 7 more episodes to film for 2021.
I just signed a contract. It said Sasquatch Hunter TV on the top, man.
Yeah. Jay spelled it with a letter backwards and crayon. And you're like, I'll sign it.
I mean, just I was thinking fly fishing, you know, with the kayak.
So here's a cool thing. And I've never talked about this yet, but I've never fly fished in my entire life. And this season, I am filming a fly fishing episode. I've never done it before in my life. Do you fly fish?
Oh, yeah.
Sure do.
Like, you're good at it? Like, you know how to do it?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, because I have no idea what I'm doing. So, like, I understand the concept of it. And I've cast at a trade show before, so I know how to lash how to pull and cast a little bit. But if you know what you're doing, I need someone that knows what they're doing. So I don't want to snag myself. And that's what I'm afraid of doing.
Oh yeah, that always feels good, dude.
I feel like I'm just gonna like whip the back of my neck with it every time. So,
you know what? Can I come with?
Yeah,
I'll be doing the journalistic recording, like off to the side. You're like, this is gonna be great. Just getting some streamers, dude. Ooh,
that's funny. These
streamers with a stinger. Oh, you'll love that, Mikey. Do it in the wind.
Oh yeah, the wind is brutal.
For real though, I would love you guys to come out for that. It'd be a lot of fun, and we can. There's plenty of great rivers out this way too, or there's plenty out your way too. Actually,
oh, yeah.
I have an idea of a river. I have not, especially if you want, not even much of an adventure, but I got an idea of a river.
All right,
especially if you hit it at the right time of year.
Yeah,
is it? Where's it at? What area?
Wisconsin.
Oh, okay,
he's like,
home of the cheese.
That's not going any further than that, I'm sure. With Brad, he's like Wisconsin.
You know what it is? If you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you'll figure it out on the episode.
All the listeners in Wisconsin just crank the volume right now.
It's only a 14-hour drive to Wisconsin compared to what, five or four and a half to you, Jay? Four to you?
I'd be okay with it if you wanted to go to Wisconsin, Mike, this time around. I'd be okay with it.
I'll do it. How far is Wisconsin from where you're at, Jay?
Well, it depends. I think if we're going up towards probably what Brad wants to do, three, 4 hours probably.
It depends. It depends.
Yeah, I don't really know where he's going if we stay too much. But either way, are you
only 4 hours from me, Jay, right?
No, I'm 5 hours to you.
Okay, so it's about 9 hours to Wisconsin then.
For you?
It depends where you go.
Well, not really. Jay, carry the
one. Madison. Yeah.
You know what?
That one, Jay's got to take his shoes off.
This was the corridor, like, underneath Lake Michigan from
where. Yeah, I know what that means.
You know.
Us Midwesterners, this means going under the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's like going this way, or you take a ferry and go that way.
Yeah, yeah. So you go through the Indiana corridor, or
well, Chicago was 4.5 hours, and Madison, Wisconsin, was about 13 hours, I think, or 12 hours when I went there last.
It should only be like I don't think it's that far. It's only three hours, maybe, from Chicago.
9 hours to Madison. I'm thinking of when I went to Minnesota. That's right. When I went to Madison, it was like 9 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to drive for sure, but.
Shouldn't be that far. You're maybe six or seven.
I can make to Chicago in two.
Yeah, you want to catch fish or not, Mike?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Come on, Mike.
I got four lakes my neighborhood, bro.
Do you want to hit that 2.5 million mark, or do you want to stay at 2 million?
Right?
And what's it going to be, Mike?
And all I got to do is make a cameo.
I can drive 4 minutes and catch fish, though.
You know?
Touche.
Well, touché. I'm sure we can talk about it offline.
No, that's true.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We need to do a fly episode, though, for sure. Like, we'll discuss that over the next couple weeks here.
We'll figure out the logistics.
Yes. Or I might even take I might even be able to even fly over there for make it easier. Because there's a lot of we'll talk about it.
Just take the ferry, dude. It's only like $140 for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one way.
Without vehicle.
It's $140 one way for the ferry.
Yeah.
Without your car. I think that's just you, like just your body.
Oh, it's not even the car, too.
Yeah, cheaper to
$50 a rod.
Yeah, cheaper to FedEx myself.
It might be.
So we got good LTL rates. We'll put you in a nice crate.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe a couple breathing holes. Maybe.
So I'm Mike McKinstry, and I'm here getting shipped over to Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm currently in the back of a semi.
With a GoPro on YouTube. There's a guy that did that. He shipped himself somewhere.
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, it'd be a great part of your episode.
I'm just saying, man.
I mean, I don't know. It sounds great to me.
Yeah, you know, the last time I ordered something in the mail, it took about 2.5 months to get here, and it was an hour and a half away, so I'm good with shipping myself.
No, let's ship them to the east side of Joliet. I'll pick them up.
Oh, man. I call it, like, Castaway with the beer down to here.
No, you'll probably be lost in shipping, man.
Oh, well, you said you already filmed some episodes for 2021, man. I mean, what kind of juice can you give us on that?
So I'll spill some beans here, actually. So we have four episodes fully done right now, and then the next month we'll have two more of them fully done. We're doing pieces right now. We have my season premiere, which I'm literally been editing all day today and almost every day for the last week or two, which is my first time being in a seaplane. And we went fishing, had a great time. And then on the lake we were fishing, we just so happened to come across a couple seaplanes that this guy had. Like, he's got like a seaplane collection. And we're like, hey, man, those are pretty cool. And we ended up talking for a couple hours. And next thing you know, we're up in these seaplanes and hitting different lakes and just landing on whatever lake we feel like landing on. It was super cool. And we're like, man, we got to make an episode out of this. That was one of the coolest things. It was just such a cool experience. So we ended up making an episode out of it. And we landed on two different lakes. We went fishing off the side of the airplane, or I did at least. Like, I was in a 1947 Piper, like a fabric-wrapped plane. Like, no sheet metal was on this plane. It's all like a frame with fabric wrapped around it with paint on it. And it was like the scariest slash coolest adrenaline thing I've done. because like the doors were open while we're up in the air. Like we take off, the doors are open, and you just like if you get hot, you open the doors up in the sky. I mean, it's just the weirdest feeling. And the plane is big enough for the pilot, who is like 6'7", like a monster of a guy. And it's like we had to adjust like the fuel and stuff to make it so the plane wouldn't sit like this because he's a really big guy. There's enough room for him. His shoulders were touching both sides of the plane. And then I'm in the back and I was squeezed like this. So that's how much room there was. I had one fishing rod with me that went from the front of the plane, touching the windshield, all the way to the back. And that was all the plane was. I mean, it was such a weird, like amazing, incredible experience. And fishing off of it, like we fish off kayaks, you know, so we're used to being close to the water, but when you're standing on a floating pontoon of a old 1940s airplane, and fishing off, I mean, it was so peaceful. It was so cool. And it was just like, I don't know, there's something about it that was just like incredible. Like, I'm gonna do it again. Like me and the pilot have stayed in touch, and he was like, man, that was so much fun. I'm like, you had fun, dude. You do this every day. Like, I had fun. I'm doing that again. So we went out and filmed that. That'll be the season premiere. Excuse me. And that's only one of the segments. Like I said, my episodes are all like miniature. I like to think of them as miniature movies because I follow, like, I try to do like a climactic roller coaster where it's like there's a climax to every segment, and then it goes back down so you can go to the next segment, and then there's like something really cool that happens, or something that's like, there you go, there's a picture of it right there. You're pretty fast on your surface there. I gotta be careful what I say.
Trying, man.
You kind of caught a bigger bass than that,
dude. Trust me, you know how hard it is to fish on a plane. So like, here's the thing, like no joke, like I did a vlog of this too that you can see on YouTube. That plane drifts so fast. It's so light, and it's obviously like a big wind sail, pretty much, literally. And you can't stop, like you can't go around the shore and like follow the contours of the banks. Like you can't really fish spots. You just land and you fish before you fly into the shoreline, because then you get stuck. You can't do anything. So we were like landing and fishing wherever we landed. Like I didn't know how deep it was. I don't know where we were in a lake. Like I'm just on a body of water. I'm like, what lake is this again? He's like, ah, I'm not sure. Hold on. I'm looking at maps. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'll throw a line right here, you know? So like we were just lucky we caught a fish. We caught one bass, and I was just like, man, that was the coolest. I caught a bass on a plane. Like that's it. And he's like, cool. We had to start it up move on the water about 15 to 20 times just to try to stay from hitting the shore before he was finally like, hey man, we're done. Like we're going to run out of gas, just moving the plane back to the middle of the lake again. So it's super hard to fish out of a plane like that. Like it was super difficult. And obviously you're stuck to fishing in the biggest part of the lake too, because that's the only place you can land. So, it was awesome, man. It was such a cool experience. And that's the season premiere. You know, we kayak fishing out of a plane. And then we gave away a kayak to a Detroit fireman during the pandemic. So that's the first episode. It's super cool. Second episode, we're finishing up on Monday. It sounds weird, but like it's probably like the least exciting for most fishermen, I guess. But it's the most exciting thing that I've done so far. Because it's something, yep, there we go. Giveaway to Danny Peters. That guy is such a cool dude, man. His girlfriend entered him in that contest, and he kind of wrote it off because he read a bunch of entries and realized like there's so many people that deserve a free kayak. He wasn't going to get it, but he didn't know I was just going to do a random name generator to pick the winner. So when he got picked, he had no idea it was coming. And there's a vlog of that on my YouTube channel too. And you guys got to see that video. It's so funny because his reaction, he was sleeping. He wakes up. I pose as delivery driver, had the kayak wrapped in moving blankets, and he walks out and told me he had to sign something to get his furniture that his girlfriend ordered because she was in on the whole thing. He comes out and he's like, he's buying it the whole time. He's like, ah, oh, it's weird furniture under the blankets. All right, whatever. And he starts to sign it. And he looks at the paper and it says, you just want a kayak. And he's like, no way. And he turns around and looks at her. It was such a cool, like, it was That's such awesome. A cool experience, man. Like we talked for like 2 hours after that. Like, he was such a cool guy. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. But the second episode is it's something that's so cool and different, and this is exactly what my show is about. It's not just about fishing; it's about inspiring people to get outside and just find an adventure and follow your passions and you know, just do cool things, like just have fun. And second episode is just a great example of it. I got to take a professional or a newly retired ex-professional hockey player fishing for his first time in a kayak, and he's a big monster of a guy. And took him for his first time bass fishing out of kayaks. He's not used to catching bass. He caught a monster. It was a blast. We had such a good time. And then, so this is at this is the second segment of the show. We go to a hockey factory where they make goalie gear, and it's like the number one manufacturer of goalie gear in the world for professional hockey. And they had the pads right there on the screen from Mighty Ducks that Goldberg wore, and Mighty Ducks signed by the whole cast, Emilio Estevez, Joshua Jackson, everybody. And they were small on me, but not too much small, because Goldberg was a really big kid. So I got to put on Goldberg's pads at the, and that's at the office there for Vaughn Hockey. But so the second segment of that show, we took them fishing. Then I go to this custom goalie manufacturer, and they make me a full set of custom goalie pads. I go the same process all the pro NHL goalies go through, all the sizing and designing. And I designed everything, the coloring, the stitching. They made these things custom fit. Every piece of the gear is custom fit to me and to the colors I wanted. It was incredible. And the pads, I just got them today, actually, which is super cool. They're actually in my kitchen right now. The pads have my Basquatch logo on them, which is like even cooler. They're pro level NHL goalie pads with Basquatch skull logos on the tops of them and stuff. And it's all black and red. It's beautiful. So then next week, or in a couple days here now, I'm going to a professional hockey rink and doing a shootout with this guy. So I'll be in his world, and 95 to 100 mile an hour slap shots is what he was clocked at when he was training, 2 weeks ago. So it's going to hurt bad, and I'm going to get embarrassed, but I played hockey for 34 years now. So it's like a huge passion of mine. So the fact that I get to even be in this environment, the fact that I got to be in the offices of Vaughn Hockey and get to get custom goalie gear that I would never been able to get any other way. I got to see the history of all this stuff and touch the pads of all these pro goalies. And now I get to go to a professional ice rink and get to play hockey with a professional hockey player. I mean, it's literally one of the coolest things. And it's funny because a lot of the fishing crowd would be like, oh, cool, hockey, whatever. But, you know, the show isn't, I mean, as much as views matter, obviously, views, numbers, analytics, those all matter. But I don't do my show or my YouTube or social media to get views or likes or subscribers. I do them because I have fun and I like to share it. And I want people to have fun too. And I want to show people how much fun this could be. And people, you know, people get inspired and do it themselves and go, hey, man, I saw you do this, so I did this. And that's the best reward. So the people who can relate to this even aren't the ones that are necessarily hockey players, but the ones that are like, man, that's so cool. You had a passion for hockey and you tied it into fishing somehow. And you had a blast and it looked like a lot of fun and you got embarrassed like crazy on the ice. I want to go do something like that now too. And that's what the hopes of every episode is. So the second episode, very different from the first one. Very unique, it's going to be very interesting and very funny. We have a lot of really cool little things planned that I can't disclose yet, but a lot of funny things in the episode that are going to definitely make you laugh too.
Nice.
Especially the fly fishing one. That should be pretty good. two and a half million views.
Yeah, alone. We're the airplane professional hockey players, but we're going to go fly fishing with Brian and Jay and Brad.
And Brad,
yeah. You really don't need anything else. I think you're good.
I'll bring the swim skirt to Jay.
That's hilarious, man.
Can you wear one of those bikinis with the built-in skirt? Just so there's that mystery, part.
He's talking to you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It ain't me, bro.
Yeah, I'm so thankful all you wonderful human beings on this show.
I just want to throw in there, Aaron Steiger said you should take the plane to Wisconsin.
Yeah, so that was kind of where I was getting at, is I might talk to the seaplane guys and be like, hey, man, can we land on this river or this lake out in Wisconsin?
Yeah, fly over Lake Michigan? Hell no.
Planes only go 75 miles an hour, 150 maybe, 100 miles an hour. They're not fast. That's why it makes it even scarier. You think a plane going fast is scary for some reason, but it's really not, because it's normal almost. We're used to planes going 200 miles an hour plus. Yes. This plane goes slower than my car. And you're, 200 feet up in the air with the doors open. It's really a weird experience.
I don't know, man. Lake Michigan's a sketchy lake.
However, though, 75 miles an hour, that's 75 miles an hour faster than typical Chicago traffic moves. So, you're ahead there.
That's true. You're ahead. So I wonder, I wonder if that plane can make it over Lake Michigan. I don't know how much gas the thing holds. I don't know how... I don't know if you have to land in Grand Rapids from here and do a 3-hour thing, land in Grand Rapids and then fuel up. And then, it might not be, cost efficient, but it'd be kind of a cool journey to do.
Pursue Channel TV host dies in Lake Michigan. Yeah, well, thanks for putting that out there, man.
don't put that in the humor. At least it's a seaplane. You're over water. Just land. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's as long as the waves aren't 15 feet tall, yeah, you'll be good.
Yeah. As long as you don't get any winds out of the north.
Just because it floats doesn't mean fall out of the sky is still a good idea.
This Steiger, is Steiger said going to be an episode of The Perfect Storm if you try it.
Yeah. Well, that would be the thing, too. Mike wouldn't even panic. He'd be like, oh, I got to get my GoPros.
We got to get this. This is going to get good ratings.
Yeah. In midair, I'm like, hold on, guys.
Yeah, I better live stream this in case I don't make it.
Cool. I'm not going to the plane again, guys. Thank you.
Well, you, I mean, over Lake Michigan, I mean, that's, you know, it's pretty
I've seen Final Destination enough times where I know that I now am cursed. I cannot go on a plane now. Because now it'd be like a premonition. Anyway, back on
the topic. Lincoln said, Lake Michigan, Lake Superior sounds like a killer trip. Yeah, I'm sure pun was intended.
Yeah. So Lake Superior is another one on my list that I want to go to, though, because I've never fished. It's the only Great Lake I haven't fished. I've been never in a kayak. I've never Great Lake but Superior.
I've never fished it, dude, but I've spent a lot of time up in the UP, and it's just so beautiful, man. And deepest lake out of all the Great Lakes. And it holds some monster trout, monster smallmouth, like just holds fish, man.
I've only seen it a couple times up by Lutzen in Minnesota. It's pretty nice.
Lutzen,
eh?
I fished up by the Lushino Islands over by Mackinac.
Yeah.
I fished out that way, but I just haven't been able to. I want to kayak Lake Superior, and that's the part that's kind of sketchy. It's not really a kayak-friendly lake, so I might not be able to kayak it. I've heard there's spots, like little coves, that you can kayak.
Picture rocks. Kayak.
Well, obviously, like Munising area, like obviously that area. But that area is not even, like, I don't even know if that's a good fishing area. Like, I don't even know if that's, like, a fishable.
There's fish.
Is there, though, for real?
It's a lake.
Well, yeah, it's a...
You know, isn't that just a lake? It's a great lake.
Yeah, it's a great lake. Literally.
You see my sound effects out there?
No.
Don't you got to wear, like, a dry suit out there, like, almost all year long? Because the water's so cold?
I think it is hypothermic the whole time. I think it is, like, 50 degrees and under the whole year, I think.
Matt's chiming in. He says... he kayaks it often, killer smallie fishing.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I have a lot of friends that do picture rocks all the time, and I always see pictures of it and video of it. I've never been there myself, and it doesn't look like an area like that's, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a fishable area. It seems like you'd want to get off of that area. It's all caverns, it looks like. So I just assume that's not where, I mean, it's obviously there's fish in the water, but there's probably much better spots. But if it's a good spot, man, incredible. I don't know how the filming regulations are because I think it's a national. Is it a national park over there?
I don't know if it's a national or state.
It's not a park though. They call it something else though. It's national something.
Yeah, national forest or something like that.
No, I don't know. There's some weird regulations on filming it, but I mean, it's like when I went to Moab and I was filming out there. I was like, oh my god, I want to film this. Oh, you're not allowed to because it's a national thing or a state thing. Cool. Oh, what about that? Nope, can't do that. And then here's the best part. You're in a sandstone area, no vegetation anywhere, and you can't fly drones because risk of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, what are you worried about catching on fire? It's like 99 degrees out here, and it's sand everywhere. What's the fear? But then the first guy was kind of a jerk, and he was like, well, it's because it's fire hazards. I'm like, but there's nothing that can catch on fire. Like, I don't think you understand how fire works. And then the next person that came up was super cool, and they're like, well, it scares wildlife, and we don't want to disturb the wildlife. And I'm like, I can understand that. That makes sense. So I know there's, like, weird restrictions on drone flight and filming in general in certain parks and stuff like that, so I'll have to look into that. But, I mean, pictured rocks in the wintertime even, man. All the caverns are ice caverns. And I've seen some amazing footage from out there on the ice. Like, even if it freezes this year, I'll probably head up there. Just, you know, last year we didn't have safe ice down here until, like, maybe 1 week in March, and that was it. So this year I'm going to go up north and do an ice fishing episode, and I might even go up to the UP depending on how the winter goes.
Yeah, man. I like it. Yeah, Pictured Rocks is a national lakeshore.
What does that mean?
Your guess is as good as mine, my friend.
I'll have to ask my producer to do some research.
I would have your people call their people and have them figure it out.
It's like the lingo of the North from that. You know, Pictured Rocks, National Lakeshore.
Yeah.
We can work that.
I'm assuming it's a national park, but
there's just weird restrictions when it comes to filming. It's weird. Like, you can't film in Canada unless you use a Canadian film crew. Like, so we were trying to film an episode on, because I wanted to cover all the Great Lakes. And I was like, yeah, we'll just go to this side. We'll go to the Canada side because it's a lot easier to film on the Canada side over here instead of having to go to New York to film over here. And they're like, yeah, you can't bring a film crew to Canada. I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, you gotta buy all these permits to be able to do that. You got to do all this and that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Or you can just hire a Canadian film crew. And I was like,
holy crap.
Like, they just know it's like a government ran thing. Like, it's a Canadian film industry thing. That's why a lot of films are done in Canada. Like, big films are done in Canada because you just go there and you buy the crew, you buy everything, and just use it all in Canada. It's all inclusive. It's like a package deal. So, like, we were looking at filming, and it's New York to go to, like, Rochester, New York, or, like, to go to the upside of New York to go film on that side. It's, like, you know, 12, 13 hours, and it's just a lot of driving, a lot of effort, where Canada is, like, a two-hour drive to where we wanted to fish, and we couldn't – I mean, the permits and the crap you got to go through, and you got to hire a full crew in Canada, and we're, like – My producer wasn't even allowed to film there unless we hire a Canadian crew underneath them. So there's weird restrictions everywhere. And, you know, Texas and Tennessee, all state parks, like, everyone's got their own regulations. And it's a weird animal. Like, if you're filming for YouTube with a GoPro, you can get away with anything. You know, like, you can just walk on GoPro all day. But as soon as you pull out, like, a big boy camera where people notice it, then all of a sudden you have to have permits, you have to have insurance, you have to have, like, permission, you know, all these things like, for a reason. But so it just changes things. So when I always get messages from people going, hey, man, you should come here. Come film here. How come you're not coming here and filming? I'm like, well, because it's a big ordeal to do it. Like, I have to pull permits. I have to plan things as a crew. There's, like, you know, budget. There's everything involved that I can't just go, let's go there and go fishing. I don't just bring a GoPro anymore. Like, I kind of miss the days of YouTube where, you know, all I'm doing is filming with GoPros and I can go anywhere I want. And I don't need camera guys. And, you know, permits don't matter because who cares if you're filming for YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Know, it's like, it's so different now. It's like everything changes. And then not only does that change, but now you have, like, a network involved. Then they have their set of rules. And, you know, it's just, you know, YouTube is kind of lawless in a way. Like, it's kind of like the Wild West when it comes to, you know, streaming or YouTube or anything like that. When you go on cable, then you have FCC, you have regulations, and you have, like, it's just weird. Like, you know, the TV process was a huge eye opener for me too, is the behind the scenes stuff that you guys don't see, like, as viewers, like, the people don't see. You know, it's like I have to go and pay an order for closed captioning because that's, like, an FCC regulation. I have to provide closed captioning for all my episodes. Like, the TVs don't do that automatically. Like, the shows have to order that through companies that do closed captioning and provide it, like, in separate files with my episodes. And then my songs that I buy and my music licensing, even if I write the song myself and record it myself, I have to write up my own license to my show for me to use it in my own music and provide that to the network so they know they can air that without getting sued. And, like, it's just like this, there's so much that goes into the regulations and, you know, and they catch everything. Cause there's times where I've, like, played a guitar chord in a background just to have, like, an ending to a song. And I get a message from one of the quality control people at the network going, hey, there's a sound that we don't have on record. What is that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, just cut it out. Like, it's not worth it. You know? So, like, there's so much, like, when it comes to, like, traveling, like, doing a fly fishing episode in Wisconsin, like, I would have to coordinate with camera guys. I have to coordinate with my producer, coordinate with where we go, possibly their film bureau or tourism bureau, depends on where we're at. If we're at a park, then I most likely can't do drones or anything like that. You know, it's like, there's a lot of logistics involved. And then I have to get all my gear there and, you know, make sure all the brands that sponsor the show are represented correctly. And, you know, it's just like it's a really big ordeal to travel. And, you know, that's why this year, the pandemic slowed us down so much, but it was kind of a blessing in disguise because we got to film a lot more locally and kind of explore more, like, within, like, you know, the Midwest, just driving distance, no flying really. And it kind of made me realize, like, how much easier it actually is to do that versus when I go to a different state and I got to deal with all the paperwork, you know? So it's, you know, there's a lot to be said about the work that it takes behind the scenes that I had no idea what I was getting into, you know?
That's very cool, man.
You ought to go fish that in the Muskegon River and the salmon run, man.
Yeah, so I did salmon last year, and we went up to Tippy Dam. And we did Lake Michigan, we did Platte River, and we did the Tippy Dam. And it was such a cool experience. But I'm not going to lie, Lake Michigan scared the crap out of me. Like, we had fog roll in, and it's in the episode, or small part of it. There's the fog rolled in, and we were out there in kayaks, and you couldn't see the front of your kayak anymore. Like, you had no idea which way shore was. You had no idea if there was boats coming through the fog and hitting you. Like, there was a boat that came through the fog and almost took one of my buddies out without, like, there was, like, no notice. It was just, like, a boat coming. And you have 1 foot visibility. And then it cleared up, like, 2 hours later. But it scared the crap out of me. I was like, man, these big lakes, like, you know, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, you know, Lake Huron, like, all these great lakes, you don't realize how, like, you know, threatening those lakes can get like this, you know? So
yeah.
Salmon runs are definitely more of a river thing for me from now on, for sure. I want to do them on fly. There was a guy doing fly fishing for salmon when I was at Tippy Dam. They were catching like 30 inch trout salmon. Yep. I mean, on a fly rod, like no drag. Like, what are those called? The fly rods with no drag or anything? They're called, there's a certain name for them.
Tenacara rods or whatever.
No, it was like a term. If anyone on here knows it, comment it on here because it's going to bug me. But he kept on saying, if I heard it, I would know it. It's a name of a fly rod that it's just reels one direction only. There's no drag. There's no nothing. Like, it's just like, it's a stick with a reel on it. And,
I think Mike's making things up.
When you look at Mr. Fast Google, man, Google it.
Mr. Fast Google, man.
Oh boy. Let's see what I can find here.
No, I was just mentioning the Muskegon River just because I happened to catch it one fall, and these guys were throwing, like, I don't know, it's like 10-foot ultralights, but they were just drifting worms. And, dude, these fish were huge, and they're jumping out of the water. I mean, the cinema, you know, the cinematography you can get out of it, you know, just all the video.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you.
But it's pretty amazing, dude, to see these giant salmon. I mean, giant. What do you do?
I missed it.
I did too.
I Googled it and figured it out, so I did the phone drop.
Oh.
Touche.
Me and Brad laughed.
Leave it to McKinstry.
It was a little moment.
Yeah. It was his moment, dude. He just took away from his moment.
Yeah, that's, you know. Thank God we're almost at the end of this.
Yeah.
A famous philosopher once said that you only get one shot. And, I forgot the rest of the speech, but
are you quoting Eminem?
I was just thinking. He's like, you know, 8th Street or something?
8 Mile.
8th Street.
I don't know, dude. I'm not from Detroit.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even an Eminem fan. I mean, what do you want, dude?
Oh, boy.
You know, all of a sudden we're hearing about beef. He's going to be rapping about me now.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
End of Paddle and Finn and go, I need to do a rebuttal whole track just to Jay, because Jay said he doesn't listen to me.
That, you know what? It could happen. So I challenge you, Em.
Yeah, you see a diss track in history.
Yeah, you know, take that diss.
Yeah. Boom. I like that, Jay Randall.
Oh, Jesus.
So, So when does season two start to air on Pursuit Channel?
Season two airs in April. The first week of April will be the plane episode. And then the second one, and it could be the second or third, because it all depends on how everything else pans out, will be the hockey episode. Third one is going to be a Louisiana episode. Nice. We're also finishing up some like B-roll footage for that. We did a tour of a gun factory, of a custom gun manufacturer down there. And it was super cool. And then went to like a private gun range that it was like the most amazing thing I've ever seen, like multi-$1 million setup at this guy's house. It was incredible. And it was a lot of fun. That should be a third episode or second. Those are my flip flop. And then the whole season is going to be incredible. So what are you putting up here? Yep. There you go. Man, you're so fast at finding stuff. That's kind of creepy.
Hey, man. Yeah,
he's stalking your public page, Mike.
So this gun manufacturer happened to make they made a tribute gun for the president. So they that's just like one table. Like, this whole place had thousands of custom guns they were building at the time we were there, even, and they just rotate all day. Like, everything gets wiped out a day. It was such a big operation. It was incredible.
Dimmer 1911.
Yeah,
that's a
Desert Eagle.
Yeah, I was just going to say. But the ones that run that table were 1911s, right?
Yeah, those are all 1911s, yeah. Those are all 9mm 1911s. That one is what's
funny is as Mike shoots this, he falls backwards.
You know what's funny is, no joke, I've never shot a 50 cal pistol. I've shot rifles, but not a pistol. And I was like, man, this thing's going to hit me in the face. I'm like, you better film it, because I got to get it on camera if it hits me in the face. And you can see right here, I think it's slow-mo. Yeah, the shell hit me right between the eyes. Like, like in that gun, so that's my they made that custom for my buddy, for my photographer I use. And he told me, he's like, I've shot that thing 30 times since then, and every single time the shell ejects and hits me straight between the eyes. Every single, like, you can't help it. It just ejects straight back for some reason.
That's and hilarious.
It, I mean, it's a big, big shell, and it's really hot. So when it hits you, it's like, it means it. He had little marks on his face from that trip. It was so funny. But yeah, that episode is going to be super cool too. And the guys that own that gun shop are just like, they deserve their own show. They're actually like best friends with the Duck Dynasty guys. And we got to drive, the Duck Dynasty guys grew up with them. They're right down the street. Like, we got to drive past their place and everything. But it was such a cool episode. But there's a lot of really cool stuff planned for this year. And then we're still filming. I mean, we still have 8 episodes, I think it is, left to film after the spring or after the winter.
7. Time. 7. We already got.
Well, we are filming 2 ice fishing episodes this year. So, I did 1 last year and the year before. This year, or sorry, 1 the year before, and the 1 the year before that. Last year, we didn't have safe ice pretty much the whole year.
Sure.
So this year, I'm filming 2. So I'm gonna probably go up north and do those. I think you probably already have safe ice up in Wisconsin, and probably have it where you're at too in Illinois.
Yeah, I was out last night. We had about 10 inches.
Oh, Jesus, man. I think the lake behind my house is at like 1.5 inches, maybe 1.5 inches, but it's like a slush top right now too. So yeah, even that 1.5 inches of ice is still like, you know, you could probably throw a rock through it. So I'll probably go out with a spud and check it maybe in 2 weeks, I'm hoping.
Right.
And if it's not good, I'll just drive 3 or 4 hours north and we'll have 10 inches of ice up there too. So that's probably equivalent to where you're at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to try to film 2 ice fishing episodes. We have a guy that does spearing for sturgeon up north that we might hook up with.
Very cool.
I'm not really into spearing fish, but at the same time, I'll fish for sturgeon because that'd be kind of cool to do through ice. And then there's a guy that does muskie through the ice that was also pretty, I mean, I can't imagine doing muskie with an ice fishing rod. Like, I don't really know how that would work. Like, I've done pike with ice fishing rods, and I just got, I don't know if you guys saw it today, I just got a box of ice fishing rods in today. Abu Garcia sent me like a whole like insane setup of Berkeley ice fishing baits and a ridiculous amount of ice fishing, like every model, like every medium light, you know, heavies, 24-inch, 27-inch, 28-inch, like everything. So I'm like, none of these rods can hold a muskie. So I'm not really sure how that works or how people fish for muskie through the ice, or if they use is that the only way to do it?
Usually that's what they do, tip-up fishing.
Wouldn't it be cool to do it with a rod, though?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, they fish for browns on Lake Michigan with automatic fishermen and jaw jackers. Those are all rod and reel and automatic hook setting devices.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of hybrids of a
of a tip-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer those. It's much more fun to fight a pike on those than it is like a regular tip-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like tip-ups are cool. Like, I use tip-ups, too, but like Berkeley has these, the round ones. I like those a lot, the insulated ones. So it doesn't freeze over. Tip ups are cool, but it takes a lot of it's fun, like sliding across the ice and grabbing them really quick and reeling them in. But like, I like the fight of like the ice. I don't know what it is, but like, it's just, even if it's a small little bluegill, it's so much fun to fight on an ice rod. You know, it's like, it just gets like a little bit of excitement going. Like, tip ups are just, they're waiting for them to pop up. You know, you're just not really doing anything. You're not jigging. You're not like, not really a lot to them.
No. Yeah. Set them and forget them.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we used to play ice hockey and just put a bunch of tip-ups around and just wait for a flag to go pop up and you break from the game and
just a little pond hockey and skate over. And
I mean, you just wait. It's
I like it. I like it. That's a good idea.
Play a little football on the ice.
It's funny. It works.
We're going to have to do that.
Yeah. I'm sure we will. Yeah, I see that happening.
So, Mike,
Tiger said he's from 8 Mile in the Detroit area. LOL. I don't know who. Oh, me or not? I'm not from 8 Mile. 8 Mile like 20 minutes away from me, though. Half hour.
I think Jay is. Jay is definitely.
Yeah, Mikey's from the
Street.
Hood.
Eighth Street.
Yeah, from Eighth Street.
Yeah, yeah, Mikey's from the hood. He's eighth. You know, eighth and eighth.
Yeah.
Where can folks go to follow you, see the schedule and stuff for Basquatch Hunter TV, man?
I can link up my OnlyFans on here real quick. No, I like how all you guys are like, wait, what? Oh, never mind. He's one of your members, so you guys can ask him for the link. He's a platinum member.
Jay.
All right. Yeah.
Sure.
Answer the question, Mike. Where can people find you? I don't know how they want to at this point, but
I think my followers are up, so I don't know what you're saying. You guys can go to Basquatch Hunter TV on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, if I didn't say that already. Pursuit Up app is free on your phones, any smart TV. Roku, anything like that, you can get the Pursuit Up app and just go to the fishing section and then Basquatch Hunter TV. You can watch the whole 2020 season on there. I think that's pretty much it, yeah. Pretty much any social media network you can go on and just type in Basquatch and you'll find it.
Very good. Mike, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'm surprised you guys keep inviting me back because every time I come on here, all I do is just make inappropriate comments. And then ramble Jay, on for
20 minutes. Jay, do you see why I agree for you to go back?
You're like, that's true. You're like, this is our excuse to get Jay to come right
back. Yeah. Again, I asked him before we got on here. I said, are you going to try to get Mike back for the last time? And he said, no, I'm not even going to open that can of worms. And you came right out of the gate, man. It was great. Yeah. I appreciate that.
5 minutes in.
You know, I don't do a lot of things great, but there's some things that I'm just, you know, I just do right, you know?
Yeah. This is probably the only one thing I'll give you that.
Yeah. I make Jay feel like a real woman. You know?
That's right. Oh, boy. Well, thank you, everybody.
You're like, Matt, you got disconnected.
Yeah, we're getting rid of you. Don't worry.
So let me know. We'll set up a trip soon, guys. If I'd love to go fly fishing with you guys or just fishing in general. You guys are welcome here anytime, or I'll come out your way. But it's definitely
right
come up for 2021 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick around, man. For everybody else watching, thank you for tuning in tonight. Next week, you can tune in. We'll have Mr. Aaron Steiger himself on. We're going to be talking about simplifying a little kayak fishing. So Aaron's got a lot of great topics he wants to jump on, talk about. Another return guest, great dude. You guys saw him in the chat tonight. But till next time, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace.